Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
Adam and Drew, back together again.
Hey, man.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, man. Why should people listen to us every single day, Drew?
Because they complain that we're not around anymore, and where are you? Won't you guys come back? And lo and behold, we've been back the whole time. They need to listen to us every day.
And I think the world needs a nice dose of us.
Yes, it's that time.
Every day.
Yep, every
day. Podcast One and
Apple. It's healthy. It'll improve your soul.
Thank you.
Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew Pinsky, getting it on 5 days a week. The Adam and Drew Show, weekdays on Carolla Digital and Podcast One.
All right, Dylan's friend, Dara Kolahi, is trying to start a charter school in L.A., and I'm very interested in speaking to him. We just had a big strike. They just settled up, and they're going back to work. Couple broad strokes, 33,000 teachers in the union currently on strike or have just summed up their strike or finished up the strike. They want wage increases and they want regulations on charter school growth. Well, but they love those kids. Boy, do they love those kids. This isn't mine, but it summed it up very well. I was in an auditorium with about 1,000 people, and somebody I was standing next to said, raise your hand if you've had one great teacher that really made a difference in your throughout your schooling years. And almost everyone's hand went up, and then the guy said, now keep it up if you've had two good teachers, and everyone's hand went down. I thought, that's a shitty batting average, considering I had 41 teachers between the sixth grade and senior in high school, or maybe it was 72. I don't know. Most of them sucked. So some are heroes, but not all. They want their spending. LAUSD has a $1.8 billion reserve, but they're spending $500 million more in revenues every year, and they think they're going to go broke within 2 years.
So blow they're through $2 million in 2 years?
They're going to be bankrupt. Jesus. At $2 billion. Yes. L.A. teachers earn $75,000 a year, but with benefits, it puts them over $100,000 a year, and teachers can retire at 55. By the way, with, you know, 40 being the new 20 and 50 being the new 14 or whatever the fuck we're at. As a guy who's going to turn 55 in 4.5 months,
you can retire.
It seems unthinkable to not only to retire, but to have to retire. Now, if you're returning punts in the Arena League, maybe it's time to hang up the cleats. Yeah. And if maybe if you're a lumberjack, you move into the main cabin and let someone else out there handle the chainsaw. But why, every time you talk to a cop or a fireman or a teacher, 55 is insanely young to retire, especially with full benefits and full pay and full everything? Why is it it's exceedingly low? Teachers, of all people, it's supposed to be the wise guy with the gray beard from the mountain who's been there and he's done that. He's seen it all. Now he's going to impart wisdom to the youth. Why are you getting out at 55?
Yeah, stick around. Mentor somebody.
You literally could add, look, it should be 75. It shouldn't be 65. It should be 70. If your thing is to sit and impart wisdom about the Civil War to a group of 13-year-olds, why the fuck is 55 the time to leave?
How about this?
No, five
years past your death, just to make sure.
That's right.
Just to make sure. Just to be safe.
I'm just saying, where in the private sector do we have such a luxury of quitting our jobs or leaving at 55 and getting full freight? Anyway, the spending just keeps increasing, and the test scores just keep going down, and they don't have to pay for insurance once they retire either, until Medicare kicks in. All right, so let me. Everyone got a 3% raise. Dara's on line 3
for the 3% of kids that can do math.
I guess. Oh, it's under 2 now.
All right,
Dara.
Yes, how are you?
Good to speak to you. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me.
How was Dylan a whole 6.5 years ago? Totally different guy?
Oh, my God. Like the Tasmanian devil when he's in his tornado phase?
That's Dylan?
That would be him.
Wow. Well, she had a work mode. I see him in tree sloth. I don't see him in Tasmanian devil. So,
the Quaalude devil.
You want to start a charter school in Sylmar. Sylmar is a very tough, highly Hispanic, and probably underperforming district out here in the San Fernando Valley. Why did you pick Sylmar?
Our family kind of, I'm from Iranian descent, and we migrated here after the whole Iranian Revolution, and the San Fernando Valley was where. The area that gave our family the opportunity to put bread on our own table. And I feel so lucky and fortunate to be able to live in a great place like this that I want to give back to San Fernando Valley. And the west side of the 405 is pretty good, pretty wealthy, but the east side is lacking, had a lot of gangbanging back in the day. So I want to try to help the place that needs the most help.
So what is the general broad strokes of a charter school for somebody who is just listening, saying, I have no idea what you're proposing? What's the general proposal?
Right. So charter schools is the difference between a charter and the public is that they, the similarities, they both get funding per student. In LA, I believe you get about $5,000-$6,000 per student, which is like bottom 10 of all the states in the whole country. And but the difference is charters can be privately run. So there's no standards. There's no mandatory ways of teaching. They all have to teach kind of generally the same stuff. Like fifth grade, you have to learn about the missions and all that history. But public school, they try to mandate it to be the same everywhere.
You're talking about California missions.
Right, yes, exactly.
Yeah. Local
right,
history. Right.
Just for people in New Jersey who are listening. Don't know, God,
right, right, yeah.
Check the taco box. Yes. Yeah, so there's some mandatory, like, California stuff.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So you get the money, and you get, and the money follows the kid around. So wherever the kid goes, the money goes. So you're basically saying with the money the kids are currently getting, we believe we can do a better job at educating them.
Exactly.
And do you have statistics from the Sylmar School District or how they're doing?
On me, I do not. I know generally their test scores are lower compared to the magnet schools and the charter schools of Palisades High, for example.
What would somebody say who is against this? What would be a good argument for somebody who was against charter schools? What would they say if I was interviewing them?
Right. The general critique of charter schools is that because funding is per student, They're usually taking those students and the money away from the public schools. And generally, the kids that leave the charter schools are usually the ones that are, and it's funny, that they generally have the parents that actually do the most fundraising as well. So not only are the higher kind of A-B type students leaving the public schools, but also the parents that do a lot of the parent fundraising.
There's a self-selecting sample of students and parents that are more into education.
Yeah, they're more motivated. And
right.
You see these parents in these horrible districts, oftentimes African-American, and they're signing up and sitting in auditoriums praying, hoping against hope that they get pulled out of the lottery so their kids can – they start crying and like trying to push their kids over the fence like it's the last helicopter out of Saigon. That would suggest to me that they think this system may work a little better. But so if you're the school district, you're going, not only are we losing a percentage of our population, but we're losing some of the earners. Mm-hmm. And so they are – that's still not really an argument against it. That's just why they don't want you to leave.
Right. The one side more, yeah.
I have a question about this, and I don't know ultimately if it's about, you know, accreditation or whatever. But like, say, magnet schools and public schools are accountable to the state because they're getting state funding. Who are charter schools – and I imagine in that case religious schools – but who are charter schools sort of accountable to?
Well, actually, the interesting part is that people think that charter schools don't have a lot of review boards or a lot of government institutions checking up on them, but especially in California, they get checked up on more and they have more government audits than the public schools do.
What?
Wow.
Doesn't sound like my California.
It's interesting.
So where – what state or what big city – is doing the most with charter, and how much success are they having? And give us an idea of a couple success stories that we might be able to sort of mimic here in Los Angeles.
Well, I think in general, the most successful charter schools come from California and New York. I don't know a lot about this specifically. I've only learned a little bit about it. But California, New York, one of the most famous charter schools is something called High Tech High in San Diego, and they started small, but now they're essentially like five different schools kind of congregate to one bigger school, and they do a lot of project design learning, project learning, and you know, they get help from IDEO to help them with their curriculum. So they're like the paragon example, the ideal example that a lot of international educationists look to of how to create a high-quality public school.
When you find out that the teachers are striking and the union is striking and the union is against charter schools, does that just feel like they're against competition to you?
That's so complicated. Sometimes it does. Other times I do feel their pain because these teachers are working 60 to 80-hour weeks. They have about 35 to 45 kids in their classroom. There's no nurses. There's guidance counselors, like 700 to 900 students per one guidance counselor. I definitely see, you know, why they're having such issues being successful. The issue is, you know, I've actually even talked to a guy who started a charter school in the LA area. Charter schools were originally designed as a way for us to try new things. And to be able to try new things outside of the unified school district and see if they work. And if they work, we'll bring them back into the unified school district. The issue with reality is because there's such a fight between union and charter, LAUSD schools refuse to take anything in general, don't want to take any lessons or lessons learned from the charter schools because they see them as an enemy, not as people trying to help.
Well, it's been a while. And I was a LA Unified guy, but when I was going to school in the 80s, early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, it seemed insanely antiquated then. Like, we were looking at textbooks from the 50s. We were just in cooking class and like
chalk.
Sewing class, just banging out erasers. I got chalk along from busting out of banging those erasers together. Like, we were talking about stuff that had no currency in today's world. We didn't focus on any sort of economic right. stuff or any kind of balancing a checkbook or any sort of life skills or even geography. The whole thing seemed like a big waste of time. And then there was a lot of like, oh, everyone put your head down on your desk and let's just ride out the last 20 minutes. like a lot of weird, just stupid stuff like that. Like a complete and utter waste of time.
Jump through hoops.
Everything from the physical building to what the lesson was, it all seemed like some vestige of the past that wasn't really going to have any real application in the real world. And it proved to be true for me. I imagine that's still going on. I love the idea of these schools that, look, I saw the movie Fame, so I have a pretty good idea of how these schools were.
Sure, it was a documentary.
Dad pulling up in a cab, putting a speaker on the roof, breaking out in interpretive dance. Yeah, I like anything that creates a little competition, and I like anything that feels like, oh, we're now getting kids prepped for this world and this economy versus the one we all learned about or didn't learn about when we were in school. So you're about 3 years off, are you?
Yes, I am. Yeah, yeah.
And do you physically have to find a piece of land and start physically constructing a school?
What about in zone?
So there's actually, and especially in LA, there's a lot of old schools that aren't even being used anymore because they've shut down. So you can possibly take over a pre-existing just building.
Ooh, I smell a Matt Damon movie.
Oh, wow.
He bought a school.
yeah.
You and your hot wife. We're gonna,
so we bought a school.
We're going to have to recast your wife, but this is going to be awesome.
Places just for teachers to live.
Yeah. So. The
Tom Hardy will play you.
Yes. That's awesome. Hey, one last one. If you do get the school off the ground, I can go over there and, for the ceremonial sort of shovel turn of the dirt. Uh-huh. But I'm also pretty handy, and I wouldn't mind volunteering, putting together some benches and things of that nature. But I would ask that you name the school after me.
Mm, that's fair.
Now, there's Cesar Chavez and Martin Luther King, blah, yeah, blah, blah, blah,
we've
blah,
done blah. Lately.
We've all been there, done that, all the Lincolns and the Washingtons all that kind of stuff. Then, plus, there's so you really got two choices in naming the school. You got the old school guys, and we're going to dig up some stuff about them having sex with slaves, and there's going
to
be a lot of controversy. Or you can just do the Dr. Martin Luther King and get on a big
He freed the slaves.
Yeah, that's that you don't want that. That's one of those things like when you name your daughter and you give her some cool name like Emma, and then she's 9 and realize there's 11 other Emmas in her class, and you go, "Damn it!"
Yep.
I wish I'd named my school Adam Carolla.
I went to MLK High. You did too?
That's right. So, again, we have some years to work this out, but expect a phone call off the air.
Oh, absolutely. If you come through and if you come talk to the kids about the industries you've been in and what it takes to be in those industries, I would gladly name it after you.
Wow.
Well,
Charter School is going to be a charter football coach.
And
Yeah, everyone, take a knee. Helmet's not a chair.
Well, you don't use helmets? All right, well, take a knee anyway.
Gather around, gentlemen. And I use that term loosely.
Because there's actually girls on the team.
That's right. All right. And by the way, Silmar, probably a lot of guys out there can swing a hammer and mix up a little stucco. So we can definitely talk construction. Thank you, Dara.
Thank you, Adam. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
I appreciate it. See, I told you one day Dylan would pay dividends, and everyone laughed.
No.
They all laughed at me. But here,
laughed
here we
go. Laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed some more.
All right. Let's see. Let me tell you about Simply Safe. Oh, man, you're going to start a school? You need security.
Start a school.
Well, it's not a great neighborhood over there. You got to protect those textbooks. Almost half of us make New Year's resolutions, get healthier, save money, get organized, blah, blah, blah. All sounds great. Then you slip up. One resolution worth sticking to this year. Keep your home and family safe with Simply Safe. Two eyes in there. 24/7 home security. No contracts or catches. Feel protected every time you shut the door to leave for work, or you shut your eyes at night. More than 3 million people feel this way with Simply Safe every day. PC Mag named Simply Safe Editor's Choice and Reader's Choice for 2018. Well, that about covers it, the readers and the editors. So just go to simplysafe.com/am and get started. Peel and stick. Batteries last up to 10 years. Get it up and running in under an hour. Safety Man, simplysafe.com/Adam. All right, let's take a quick break. Gina, we're running behind, so I think we'll just go right into the news.
Forget that food you brought.
Yeah, no, I will. The food's I'll take it back home.
The food's heating up right now, so we should
It is?
Yeah.
All right, well, then we should sample the food.
Let's sample it.
Well, I don't want to put you out by bringing free food to the studio.
No, I appreciate it. I'm just on an action-packed schedule today.
Well, you know what? How about this? How about we do that, and while you're enjoying your surprise food for today, I can start the news.
Okay, let's do that.
Good thought.
Right after this.
Thursday, February 7th at 10E in downtown Los Angeles, Corolla Drinks presents the 10E Booze and Book Club, featuring Ghost, My 30 Years as an FBI Undercover Agent, with author Michael R. McGowan. One of the cartel members we had arrested agreed to cooperate. Some of what he told us pointed to corruption at the very highest levels of the Mexican government. When we quickly relayed this very important news to FBI HQ in Washington, we were told to stand down. Because what we were pursuing, namely the links between the Sinaloa cartel and the Mexican government, were, in HQ's words, outside the scope of your original objective. February 7th at 10E. Come on out and enjoy a Mangria signature cocktail. Hear me read a chapter from Ghost and meet legendary FBI undercover agent Mike McGowan and his co-author Ralph Pizzullo. This event is free, but space is limited. Just click the registration link at adamcarolla.com.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Seek news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
We're going to eat our feelings tomorrow because the stuff wasn't, in fact, warm and... Got a hell of a day today, so we'll just do the news and we'll do that tomorrow. It'll stay nice and fresh in my fridge. Thank you.
And like Brian's father, grandfather used to say, we'll wrap a little
eggs around.
Yeah.
Nice.
This would be a good one to do that with.
Grandpa.
So some big news from this week. A shooter at a Florida bank was in court Thursday for his arraignment as investigators search for clues why he killed five people at a bank in Sebring, Florida. He's 21, not saying his name. They're trying to figure out why he went into a SunTrust bank, opened fire, killed five women. Four of the victims were bank employees. One was a customer. After it happened, he called 911 and said he shot five people. Authorities say he moved from Indiana to Florida in the fall, was training to be an officer with the Florida Department of Corrections. He quit the training program earlier this month. I guess they just got a hold of his on-again, off-again girlfriend who said he always used to say how much he hated people and how everyone sucks and how much he hates them. But I don't know. I didn't think twice when he bought a gun.
Is he go? He didn't even rob the bank.
No.
He just went into a bank.
Yes, and started shooting five people.
So sad. I'd heard about it vaguely, like read it on a crawl, you know, on a TV at a sports bar or something. Like the idea that five bodies doesn't really cut it anymore. Mm-hmm. It's sort of crazy. But
I didn't hear the story at all.
You got to get to double digits before you make the news. And if something else
better be some kids in there.
Something's going on. Yeah, you ain't making the cut anymore.
Yeah.
Five souls, not enough to make the cut for the
not
news
a lead story
anymore. Sad.
Well, we talked a little bit about Jamie Kloss, the 13-year-old girl that was held captive for 88 days by another 21-year-old dude. But a little bit of good news, Hormel Foods, they were donating a $25,000 reward to anyone who rescued her. And now Jamie Kloss is getting the money because she rescued herself. So Jamie escaped captivity.
Was it Jamie Kloss on a poly Kloss?
Yeah. Kloss. Oh, was it Kloss or Kloss? I don't
Kloss.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It was a poly Kloss.
You're right. She escaped. Damn.
Or who knows? People may pronounce it different ways. The guy who abducted her and, like, raped her and killed her. That, by the way, that guy, I hope he was put to death.
I think I'm in California, so I don't know.
Oh, he's the worst person in the world.
Richard Allen Davis?
I think, yeah.
Pretty sure it's it.
He's like the worst guy in the world because he was like sitting in the trial with the dad and the thing, and she was like, hey, she wanted it. I mean, he was like if you didn't think it could get worse, it did.
Pretty distilled evil,
It did get worse. And my whole thing about the death penalty is, can't we kill these guys? Mm-hmm. Black teen goes into the liquor store at night, got the elderly woman from across the street, can't really ID it, but thinks she has right. Don't kill that guy. Kill this guy.
He's very guilty.
We get to decide who we kill. Mm-hmm. Let's just kill guys like this, and, you know, we'll see if we trickle down, but let's just start
case by case. Absolutely.
Yes.
And by the way, I think the difference on her name is it's spelled K-L-A-A-S. So, I think it just depends on how you pronounce it. Mm. But she was about 70 miles from her home. Hormel Foods is the parent company of Jenny O, and that's where her parents worked, James and Denise Kloss. This guy, Jake Patterson, who's 21.
All the turkey burgers you can eat.
Right. Is accused of fatally shooting her parents and then kidnapping her.
So that's right.
They're trying to put the money in a trust for her. But, yeah, she saved herself, so she should get the reward. She somehow escaped the house and flagged somebody down on the street in the freezing cold with almost nothing on.
Yeah. Whenever you flag down a motorist, you're always wearing almost nothing. That much I know.
Distress call.
Unless it's the summer and then you're wearing mucklucks.
Yeah.
And
like galoshes,
and you have a muff on. Whatever it is, you have the wrong attire for whatever's going on.
Right.
This guy knew them and wanted to marry the daughter and raise her or his own?
From what I've read so far, there is no connection between him and this family. I've read that he literally pointed her out. I know Lynette's going to love this. Pointed her out at a bus stop and just said her.
Mm.
So I don't know that there's any connection between this dude and the family.
Okay. Yeah, I remember about that.
It could happen anywhere.
Yeah, the fucking piece of shit vermin who killed Polly Kloss and 96 is sentenced to death, but still around.
Oh, thank God.
64 is probably playing dominoes with some folks as we speak.
Is he here? Is he in California?
I think he is, or that was in California.
Because it happened in California.
Death row for inmates that don't ever get electrocuted or ever get actually put to death in California is a huge step up from general population, from what I understand.
I'm sure. And then they do this shit all the time where they're like, well, you know, it costs more because there's a bunch of legal shit that we should get a fucking way from. It's a fucking firing squad and kill them. It's weird.
Firing squad's the most ethical.
I agree. We need to get over ourselves, which is but there's pain and there's suffering and there's whatever with the lethal injections. And it's but first things first. We have decided to kill somebody. We've signed off on killing a human being, right?
We just made that decision.
Now we're getting into this other part where we want to know if there's going to be discomfort involved. And
they discovered their victims felt.
I'm sure they had a certain sense of discomfort when they're being raped in the woods. Secondly, I don't know. We do it with our pets to put them out of their whatever.
Because it's humane.
Yeah. I feel like if we could work it out with the pets, we could work it out with the pet files. And, or we just go firing squad and you go, whoa. But what do you mean, whoa? People get shot all the time. It's pretty fucking effective. It's pretty fucking fast. There's not a lot of pain and suffering. And it's
cheapest, fastest, and most humane.
Yes, that's right.
We have spoken.
Now, my idea of putting them on that gurney that goes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and where they spring up and then a giant rabbit pops up and then one pops down. That's going to take a while to implement.
Right.
And that does have some money.
Having a barker give out teddy bears.
Step right up.
That's right. Sorry.
Well, TMZ has posted the medical marijuana ad that the Super Bowl rejected. This is very
that was pretty
interesting.
Great. Christy loves it.
I bet she does. I thought about her. The ad, it's produced by Acreage Holdings. It's a marijuana and cannabis investment firm. And they're willing to pay $5 million, but CBS turned it down, and TMZ says it's because they don't do marijuana ads on the air. The point of the ad is to push.
Meanwhile, here's five ads from Anheuser-Busch.
Thank you. The point is to push for legalization on a federal level.
I was about to say, like, pot, I'm down with the cause, but let's stop throwing my precious booze under the bus all the time. Next thing you know, people are going to go, yeah, why are there booze commercials? They're not going to go the other way.
You shut up.
And I don't remember you having to have a prove that the beer was medicinal before anyone could sign off on it. This is a completely...
I can prove that.
This is a completely medicinal ad that shows how it's affected people in some very real
pain.
So
they produce the spot, and I guess you have to produce in advance because it has to be reviewed.
Approved, yeah. So I think it's like 30 seconds. So this is what will not be airing during the Super Bowl.
Austin would have dozens to hundreds of seizures every single day. None of the prescriptions would work. One pill almost killed our son.
I've had three back surgeries, and I was on opioids for 15 years. It was a very dark, very depressive time in my life.
After my injury, I felt like I couldn't live with the pain, but I couldn't live with this treatment long term. It was unbearable.
Vincent.
Military guy.
I don't have to live like that anymore. Medical cannabis saved Austin's life.
Cannabis has given me my life back.
There are families in other states having to watch their children die.
I want to see my brothers and sisters who sacrificed so much for this country have access to the safest treatment possible. This really is an injustice.
It's not just unfair, it's cruel.
The time is now, it says.
That's a 60.
You're right. Yeah.
That was a 60.
My question
felt
is
like a 85.
If we follow the money, Coors, Anheuser-Busch, are they the ones really putting pressure on the NFL to keep this out?
I don't know. I would keep this out for other reasons. I don't like, it's like, do they know it's Christmas time at all? Like, I'm here to fucking get loaded and watch models eat Cheetos in laundromats. I'm not fucking here to be bummed out with you tinkling the fucking ivories and telling me about your kid is spastic. I don't need that. You understand?
Spastic.
What is he?
Yeah, I mean, seizures. Yeah.
All right. I get it. I feel bad. But settle this during a fucking soccer game.
But
with all the bummer crowd over there,
but they're
I'm trying
so
to enjoy myself.
But so many eyes are going to be on this. This could put legal marijuana over. There it is.
I want to see.
Are you ready for some football?
I want to see Clydesdales in pickup football game.
Yeah, kicking field goals from 30 yards out.
I'll even take the funky monkey baby donkey. Or whatever the fucking Mountain Dew thing was.
Puppy monkey baby.
I'll take that.
The funky monkey.
The funky monkey donkey.
I'll take the funky monkey donkey. I want that. I want you know, Jay Leno, like united with Letterman, you know, like that kind of weird, the weird pairings thing, you know,
Fridrios
the one from a few years back with Oprah and David Duke. That was a good one.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that was
memorable.
I remember that one. I was pretty lit by the time that one came on, but I do clearly remember something like that. Anyway.
There was a unicorn.
I wanted to
space
see.
Unicorn.
I like all that. I like the celebrity cameos. Uh-huh. I like the snack food. Mm-hmm. I like the beer. I like the good time. I like the models. I like Cindy Crawford by the Pepsi machine out there and her Daisy Dukes and cowboy boots. You know what I mean? That's what I'm looking for.
Okay.
I don't want any bummed out. I stepped on a bouncing Betty and I got cancer and a back surgery.
It's going to be a dark Super Bowl for you.
I don't need all that shit.
You're going to see a lot of causes this year.
Oh, no.
Statements.
Mm-mm.
There's been some pretty depressing Clydesdale commercials from what I remember. Or heart-wrenching.
Yeah, but at least those are majestic.
Yeah.
Not looking for the heartstrings being tugged or plucked. I want models, booze, and snacks.
And you will have them.
I shall.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't mean to bum you out again with a 1-2 punch, but E! Online reports that on Wednesday night, Weezer quietly dropped a surprise album of covers. The alternative rock and pop band's record's called the Teal Album. It includes the cover of Africa that got played a lot, which they also released after a fan campaign basically came to life. Among some of the other covers, an unnecessary Billie Jean. There's Black Sabbath's Paranoid. Now you tell me if this needed to be done. This is the Billie Jean one. There's Stand By Me. There's Sweet Dreams. Everybody Wants to Rule the World. Take On Me.
Ooh. take on me.
Yeah, well, uh-huh.
Kind of interested in that.
Okay, the keyboard lead part of all time.
Paranoid is a great rock song. I'm not a Ozzy Osbourne guy.
Does the world need this?
It's the same thing. It's not reimagined.
That's...
This is the karaoke version right. Singing in Koreatown. It's a less good version.
Yeah. It's not reimagined in any way. Do you want to hear Take On Me, the aha?
Yes, I do, because that's a good drunken song for me.
This instrumental goes on forever at the beginning.
Self-indulgent?
It's about 30 seconds.
Well, that's what you said about the weed spot.
You're right. This could be longer. It's that bad.
But does the world need this?
No, I'll tell you what this is. I'll tell you exactly what this is. I've told you guys about the car wash version of songs.
Yes.
Where they're like sung by one of the original spinners, you know, or done by the original spinners, right. But they can't clear the master. Right. So they do actually have a singer, but it sounds off.
But this isn't their song.
No, I know, but it has in your brain, the way your brain registers those gas station tapes they used to sell is
what?
This is a lesser version of what I wanted. It sounds very familiar, but it starts to creep in. It starts to creep in sort of immediately. It's sort of like eating turkey jerky. Like you're like, well, this jerky's dry.
Something's
like,
off about this jerky.
What's wrong with it? And then you look down, oh, fuck, August bought turkey jerky.
Brian, do you have Sweet Dreams?
No.
Because you didn't need the original. I don't know why we needed the cover.
No, we did not. Nobody ever needed the original.
No.
All right, we'll try to find it.
All right. So that's happening. Congratulations, everybody.
Where's that coming from?
Mm. Oh, there we go. There we go.
Mm-hmm. I was going to have you play a little Sweet Dreams, but I don't know if I want to torture Adam.
Can I play? There's one on here that is, everything is very down the middle. It's a lot of Africa. It's a lot of Take On Me. It's all the songs that don't need to be covered by Weezer. But they do a cover of No Scrubs, which is kind of off the radar. And it's an interesting reimagining of this song.
This is the one everyone's talking about because it's the TLC song and everyone loves that Weezer's singing it.
It's the only one that deviates from, you know what I mean, a little bit.
They do Don't Go Pissing Up Waterfalls.
Indeed.
I like those gals.
They do an ELO song that I can't believe they got the rights to do. I can't believe anyone from Jeff Lynne's camp was like, yeah, you guys go ahead and ruin that.
Did one of the TLCs, or was it a Salt and Pepper that set Andre Rison's tub on fire?
That's Left Eye.
Lisa Left Eye Lopez. Yep.
We just had this conversation at dinner the other night.
I completely forgive her for that.
She died.
I know.
Okay.
But I forgave her even before she passed on.
Why?
Because he had Andre, Bad Moon Rising, Atlanta, by the way. Mm-hmm. I guess she was cheating on him, or he was cheating on her, or some version of that. And he went a little technical problem. But anyway, she said, oh, I'm pissed at you, and I shall take all your clothing and I shall burn them in the bathtub.
Yeah, go full Waiting to Exhale.
No, it's like, okay, all right.
It's reasonable.
And she's young, and he got caught cheating, and he's got all his Armani suits, and she's going to burn them in the tub. But the tub was made of fiberglass. Now, most tubs are like cast iron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're pretty good for burning stuff, but not the plastic resin variety. And so the tub started melting, and if you take something like fiberglassy and resiny and you catch on fire, not only does it not burn, it burns hard.
If only
there
was a water source nearby.
Yeah. And so that's what caused the mansion to catch on fire. But I was like, you burned it in the tub.
Her heart was in the right place. It was a whoopsie daisy.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jimmy Kimmel went on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohn this week and revealed the guest that he couldn't have on because her requests were too insane.
Oh.
This is great. And I'm going to tell
you. It's not Omarosa,
no,
is it?
No. I'm going to tell you who it is because it's a little hard to hear.
Is
at
it
the
a
end.
Real housewife?
No. It's something you're going to be like, of course. Kimmel was asked a question.
Right, Carey?
No, but she comes up.
What's worse?
Yes.
If you're somebody. Like somebody explains something super, super douchey and arrogant and everything else, and everyone goes, Oh, Brian. And you go, no, it wasn't Brian. Like, what's worse? Like, either being the person or everyone bringing your name up. I just looked to my left. But what I'm saying is,
it's a bad example.
It would actually be better for Mariah Carey if it was Mariah Carey instead of two guys randomly just going Mariah Carey. That means the word's out.
Yeah, it's got to be Mariah Carey. More damning.
Right.
Well, he was asked the question about having to accommodate guests by switching seats with them, and he revealed that that happened with one potential guest, and that guest was?
Oh, I'd heard about this one, and now I can't remember.
Babs. Barbara Streisand.
Oh,
and it's only because you can't really hear him say it, but this is a great
clip. Does she think she has a bad side?
She has.
Wait, let me rephrase that. Does she think she has a good side?
Somebody in the comment section, which I usually don't read, said she's sitting on her best side, which I thought was funny. Mm-hmm. All right, here's a clip.
If a guest wants you to swap around your set so the cameras get their best side, do you refuse? I have switched seats for Mariah Carey 4 times.
I've had a guest ask for that, and I said no.
Really?
Yeah,
Jimmy,
because
Streisand?
Yes.
It was Streisand. Yes. And you didn't do it. And then did she come on the show?
No.
Wow.
It was the condition, but the condition was we couldn't talk about the fact that we'd switched around. I was like, I just don't see how that was going to work. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You switch the entire set around, then you never refer to it. That was one of the conditions.
It's got to be tough for her because every late night show is set up that way.
Part of, she's got to go to Australia and do the circuit, number one. Number two, part of the egomaniacal insanity, and I've had these conversations with people. I was like, yeah, but then what do we say to the audience? I'm like, what do you mean? Nothing. Just keep moving. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, it's going to seem so weird and jarring if this person's gone or this person's here. Or we don't acknowledge, blah, blah, blah. And I go, why? Which is part of being a sociopath narcissist. It's like you don't understand why people would notice.
Right.
But it's more like, well, what do the knaves need to be? Why do we explain shit to the little people?
To the great unwashed.
They fucking do our show. Yeah. They'll be happy to have it.
Yep.
It is funny that Mariah Carey's name did come up. Yep.
Well, didn't Tommy Mottola tell her at one point that she had a bad side, which is why she puts her hair all up in her face on one side? So I think she has a complex about that.
He Doe Jacksoned her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Barbara Streisand has, you know, they say she'll call someone will call restaurants on her behalf to change the lighting before she gets there. There was that whole Broadway one-man show called Buyer Seller, which was about the mall that she has in her basement, a working mall that somebody worked in her cellar, Buyer Seller.
That's good. It'd be a gig to work at like the Snooki's Cookies or something, or Wetzel's or something, and Orange Julius down there, and you're just standing there and you're leaning against the plunger where you make the lemonade. It's been like 7 months since someone's come through there, and you're just fucking sitting there. You're like the Maytag repairman, you know, you just lean against that thing.
You're at Hot Dog on a Stick. Do I have to wear the hat? And your manager comes by, he's like, I'm making you sorry, you know the rules.
Right, and at some point, like the elevator doors open, you perk up, but it's the janitor who's walking by, and like, shit, you sit back down again. I would like to get a gig at that mall.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not for the public, as you mentioned. I think she just goes down there and likes to, you know, shop in her little stores.
Wow.
Yeah.
And James Brolin, because James Brolin, who's married to her, at least seems like the most regular of regular guys. He was sort of your Bryan Cranston before Bryan Cranston. Just a dude with a beard who looks good and
he's
acts.
Like Josh,
you know what I mean?
In a lot of ways.
His son is very him. Yep. Yeah, very him. Yeah. But I'm sure James Brolin didn't, you know, I mean, he didn't grow up in Malibu.
I don't think so.
He was a regular dude who played like regular, him in the, like roles that like Bob Urich or Lee Majors would have played in and stuff. What's he do? Like, does he just walk around with a wooden spoon in his mouth like the entire time because he can't comment on anything? Because you think a guy like that would be like, oh, Jesus Christ, no. You can't fucking tell the host to switch with
to
you.
To anyone in the world except Streisand.
Right. So as a husband, James Rowland's coming in studio in a couple of weeks.
What?
Yeah, confirmed.
If only we can get an answer to our question.
Brian is going to be where you are.
Oh.
You're going to go to the other
side.
That's
good side.
That's fair.
Forgot the rider.
That's totally understandable.
All right. Well, I will have questions. I'm sure he'll answer none of them about Babs, but that's all right, because I'm going to talk mostly about those amazing Dobermans and maybe Killdozer. He was in all those crazy 70s movies of the week.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
The Doberman
Gang? No. There was Doberman Gang,
there was those amazing Dobermans where they Dobermans robbed a bank. They trained him to rob a bank. But no, he was
there
in one.
There were multiple Doberman heist movies?
Oh, there were multiple Doberman. He was in one called Trapped or Locked In or something like that. He fell asleep in a department store when they would let Dobermans run wild.
Oh, that's yeah. good.
And he had to stay one step ahead of them.
Yeah.
Are you thinking
you
of the car?
No, not the car. There's one where guy was locked in a department store with Dobermans. The best part of any locked in a department store movie mm-hmm. is at some point toward the end of Act Two when the guy goes into the sporting goods section. It's yeah. like, oh, there's bows and arrows. Yes. And he starts grabbing shit and he starts putting on like catcher knee pads right. and shin guards and shit. And, like comes out yep. all dressed up.
Hockey goalie masks.
Football yeah. helmet yep. on and like catcher's gear.
Yep.
He's got an arrow.
Bring it.
Yeah.
You're thinking of Trapped from 1973, straight to TV movie. Slugline is, a man is accidentally locked in a department store overnight and finds himself held at bay by six vicious Doberman guard dogs.
Sweet.
What happened to being held at bay?
I don't know. Now there's just edit bays. I guess there's mechanic bays.
The poster, there's no way out, there's no time left, and the dogs are trained to kill.
There was Doberman Patrol.
Jesus.
There was the Doberman Gang. What was James Brolin then doing? He was in Killdozer?
That's what I meant when I said The Car. I think you're confusing with a movie called The Car, which is also a horror movie.
But he wasn't in the Doberman Trap in...
He is in the Doberman. He's a star.
Oh, he is.
He's in all of them.
Trapped.
Oh, then we'll talk about that.
Yeah, of course. That's going to come up.
Should also, we come in that day?
Yeah, there's no reason.
Also, Kaylin found a bunch of pictures from Barbara Streisand on talk shows, and she's always on the right side.
Wow, she's sitting in Fallon's chair.
Do they address the Fallon thing? That's so weird.
I don't know.
He's in the guest chair for people who can't see, obviously. Then she is
Ellen has been moved as well.
I think they shaped it around like a bit just to make it seem maybe a little more.
Sure. Oh, they probably did a thing like, well, you interview me.
Yeah, yeah.
You
know, even though he's holding all the cards.
Right.
And Ellen.
Wow.
God love her.
Got Bob Redford over there. Got Oprah to move. Mm. Lady O, man. Get in the back of the bus. Powerful.
Jesus.
All right. Let me tell you about True Car. What the hell is Brolin plugging? Where did Brolin grow up, James Brolin?
Find out.
I bet it was somewhere like quaint. True Car, where was I? Every car has a story. Think you can't put a price on that story? True Car can. Find out what your car's worth when it's time to sell or trade it in. You just go into True Car, enter your plate number, and your car's details pop up. Then answer a few easy questions. Once you're finished, you get a true cash offer sent in minutes, which you can take to your local certified dealer. And you can decide, do you want to cash out? Do you want to trade in? Do you want a new car? Do you want a used car? Do you want to trade in your car? Or do you want to cash it out? So when you're ready for a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car. True Cash offer not available in all areas, but I bet you don't live in one of those areas. All right.
James Brolin was born in Westwood.
Westwood?
Yeah.
Fuck. Who the hell's born? Nobody's born in Westwood.
Chris Christie was born in Westwood.
I was actually born in Westwood. I was.
I was,
but that's where the
fuck. You're shooting your own point.
I know, but no one from Westwood. No, you can't be from Westwood.
Her parents still live there.
You can't be from Westwood. They teach at UCLA? It's impossible to be from Westwood. God damn it.
So great. Yeah.
I went, nobody fucking hails from Westwood. Nobody. Never heard
it.
So
name of your next book.
Well, nobody. He went the Jan Michael Vincent around and went to Malibu, so he's a
God
happy
damn
78.
It.
Sure.
God damn it. You're fucking shitting on me? You're shitting on this point. Sorry. He went from Westwood to Malibu? I told you he wasn't from Malibu. He's from Plentywood, Montana. He comes from a logging family.
Are you going to yell at James Brolin the whole time he's here?
Nobody is from here. That's the shitty point. And no actor, especially no actor is from here. And no actor from the 70s is from here. You have to come here to act. Yeah. This guy's born in Westwood. I was born in Westwood because... The doctor.
The hospital
I was born in a doctor's office in Westwood, so I guess I was born in Westwood. Christy and parents and everyone else.
God damn it.
Why were you born in Westwood? That's nowhere near where you live.
It's a lot of medical stuff.
There was a lot of medical stuff. And
UCLA's
were you
there.
Breech birth or something?
There was like, I was born in the doctor's office, like wow. not in the hospital. So.
Couldn't even get an upgrade at birth.
They went to Malibu.
We'll get to the bottom of this when he
is pissing me off. Okay. Well, maybe he should be hanging with Babs. All right. Garagus is here?
Yeah.
You want to bring him in?
Let's bring him in.
Let's bring him in.
Sweet.
He can comment on a lot of stuff. What do we got? We got Chris Brown.
And the Fyre Festival documentaries, two releases, one on Hulu, a different one on Netflix. I've seen it, Brian's seen it, Dawson's seen it. And there's a Garagos connection between this lawsuit for Fyre Festival.
Here comes Mark Garagos in all his glory.
Oh, he's in
love this guy. Oh,
Diet Coke.
Everyone loves Garagos. No.
First Diet Coke, Mark?
I feel like the...
Uh-oh, I'm going to get my ass handed to me right now.
I know. I feel like I've been supplanted by... How old is he? 5 or 7?
3.
Three.
I can explain.
Wow. A 3-year-old male has just pushed me to the curb.
I had to switch my necklaces for a 3-year-old boy, but I don't have it on today.
Yes, she usually wears a 3-foot high. She swings around, but the boy's retina was torn when she bent down to hug him. Thank God the tits acted as an airbag to protect him.
For everybody.
From the drill out. Hi. So,
can you say that?
Hi.
Tits? You can say that in his airbag?
You know, Gina's cool. She's from Kansas, man. Kansas
Not
City
Westwood.
Or somewhere around there. Not Westwood. Garagos, quickly.
Not the Valley.
Chris Brown all up in the news. This sounds like what you hear about nothing.
I never talked to him. I got awakened in the middle of the night. I was getting ready to pick a jury in New York and all hell breaks
for
loose.
A Chris Brown trial.
Yeah, exactly.
But whenever you hear from Chris or about Chris, it's always being woken up in the middle of the night.
There is something uncanny about the fact that if I'm in Miami for the national trial lawyers, they have a once a year, and it's not always on the same date. And this year it was Martin Luther King weekend. Prior years it's been Super Bowl weekend. No matter what day it is, when I land, and if I'm there Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, the first day, guaranteed 3 a.m, it's a call. Guaranteed. And it's Chris, and he's in custody. It's like, it's uncanny. I've never seen anything like it. I wish I could bet on it.
It's a good thing you're already awake.
I can't hear you. I'm making it raining in here. All right. So, he's in France. Somebody accuses him of rape. It doesn't sound like there's much...
This
meat
is
on
so
this
reminiscent.
Bone.
No, there isn't. It's reminiscent of, except for the accusation of rape. I remember this happening in the Philippines where they were holding him hostage. I remember Gloria Allred on some case doing a press conference about the house. I mean, there's always somebody who's targeting him. I mean, that's unfortunate for him.
And now the Fyre Festival. There's a couple of docs that just dropped.
There's competing docs. Ben. Who you know.
Mm-hmm.
It says from Garagos and Garagos.
Yes, because he
featured
knows.
Featured prominently.
Like,
yes, very.
I was going to tell the story for Reasonable Doubt, but I think I'll tell it to your listeners here.
Please.
Do you know that Adam had a front row seat on this whole thing?
What?
We have an episode of Reasonable Doubt called Three Fingers In. And this is based on about, you can find the date. Three Fingers In is, I left the house after having done a political event that Adam was there. I came home at about 10 o'clock, and then Adam and my wife are in the big room, the ballroom, the one that I'm never allowed in. And Adam was about 3 fingers into my scotch.
Sure.
And Adam's famous retort was, better than being 3 fingers into Paulette. And,
oh, my God.
And I
oh
could
God.
Not be drinking because I said, Adam, have at it. I've got to go upstairs. I'm editing a complaint to file that I've got to file tonight, meaning that on that 3 fingers in. That was the Fyre complaint, which had started that day when Adam was at the house, because one of Jake's friends, ne'er-do-well millennials, was bitching and moaning about the fact that he had spent thousands of dollars to go down there and was complaining. And all of Jake's buddies, you know, he's now 25 going on 26. That was the target demo ne'er-do-well millennials. And so Ben and I spent the night that evening. We filed it, and it took off. And now there's competing documentaries. Ben is prominently featured in the Hulu one.
Correct.
In fact, there are memes now going around about Ben, which are a little bit perplexing, a little bit funny if it wasn't criminal, and yeah, it is a little bit funny. Because it is funny, as Adam and I always said. How are you going to get, you know, I can work up about the downtrodden of this or the underdog here, but here you've got millennials who took a private jet to an island and had to eat cheese sandwiches.
Nobody loved this more than people who didn't go. I mean, right. They were eating this up, the schadenfreude of, like, all these rich millennials have to eat cheese sandwiches in these geodesic hurricane tents. Ha ha. Like, nobody cared at all.
But poor Billy McFarlane cared because he's doing 6 years in a federal penitentiary.
And how is your office?
We did the class action suit. We got named the leadership. No, we're there. We're hopefully going to resolve it. They've thrown into bankruptcy. Ja Rule is trying to get out. Uh-huh. We have got the everybody. Fuck Jerry. The Fuck Jerry media is trying now to donate to the poor woman who got taken for $130,000. It's a shit show of massive proportions. I mean, it's only been amplified by the documentaries. Because mind you, Netflix had scheduled there. And then Hulu said, "Boo-loo on you. We're dropping 4 days early."
Have you seen both the docs?
I hate to admit this. I haven't seen either one. And it's
bad. That's why you're stressful.
You probably know more.
Well, Ben's in it, and I want to see the Hulu one because Ben's in it, and he's apparently like the hero. So I want to watch him.
Yeah, they're both great.
Ben is, when I famously coined the phrase with Mark Garagos, when they get in and work over in a deposition, they play good cop, boring cop.
And Ben proudly wears the moniker boring cop.
You definitely want him in your doc.
Just who you want as a talking head.
His other nickname is Mr. Wednesday afternoon. Not Saturday night. More of a midweek guy.
He's become completely midweek. After speaking of the national trial lawyers, last year, that was also in Miami. It was Super Bowl weekend. And it was in February. And Ben and I were on somewhat of a bender. We had just won a big case. We were there. It was February. And right before Lent starts, because, you know, it's the for Armenians, the Monday before Ash Wednesday, and I always give up booze for Lent. It's a good, you know, because you can regenerate.
Detox.
It's not just that. It's the only organ that regenerates is the liver. So it's a great thing. And then Ben and I had just powered through, and we just didn't want to leave Miami. We had moved. We got kicked out of Lowe's. We're then at Fountain Blue. Finally, after about a week and a half, it was the night before, and I said, that's it. Lent's starting. I'm going to jump start it on Sunday. He joined me, has not had a drink since.
Really?
Yes. Wow. Not had a drink since he's got
on the next episode of Good Cop, Boring Cop. Armenian Lent.
Let's around call the corner. Me.
Yeah.
He's reaching the finish line of the 1 year anniversary.
Wow.
Yeah. Like on the next episode. He's like, well, they say O'Doul's is non alcoholic, but technically, I've gotten some of the chemical breakdown and status reports back, and so there will be a lawsuit against the Anheuser-Busch and O'Doul's company for claiming.
But you'll know.
Claiming.
Claiming to be there.
That's why they put the little asterisk that says less than 0.05.
Well, let's let the jury sort of figure out.
It's a disputed fact. It'll get past MSJ.
All right. Let me tell you about Geico. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance at Geico.com to spend 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money, put it in your pocket, get yourself some O'Doul's or maybe a little single malt scotch. Go to Geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Mark Garagos, everybody. You can find him and me together on Reasonable Doubt.
Best hour in the universe.
Saturdays.
Don't take that personally, Gina. Ball.
Oh, no. I mean, we agree.
The show's more than an hour, so.
And check out 10E. That's right. 10E is the restaurant. And Dawson's doing his thing over there on this February 7th. So check that out as well. Live shows for me coming up Foxwoods and Wilbur Theater in Boston, February 8th and 9th. Go to amcroll.com and find out. Our 10-year anniversary shows coming up here as well. Bald Socks. Yeah. Let's not forget those bad boys at amcroll.com. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla. For Mark Garagos, Gina Grad, and Bald Brian, say mahalo. See, I told you one day Dylan would pay dividends.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 for tickets and info on everything we're doing here. Come out and support us. Get dates and details at adamcarolla.com. And stay tuned for AP News.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now. Save big money.